Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Tonight, we're going to talk about something that we skirt around frequently, but we're going to focus on it tonight. What we attempt to do is give you those tools that are necessary to make success out of your life. And as we talk about success, we need to understand that success is what we define it as, not what someone else is doing. You're not competing against someone else, because sometimes we look at something and say, well, that's not worth it. It's not worth the effort. But let me tell you, whatever you do can be worth it. There are steps that you need to take. I worked for an individual who worked for a very wealthy person. And what this person had done was designed the clips that go on the end of bread. Now, those of you that are old enough may remember that what they used to have was a little gummy, a little sticky type stuff at the end of the loaf, and you put that on, but it never worked very successful. So it allowed the bread to get stale quicker, sometimes even to grow mold. And then we came up with those little tags that are on the bread. And you say, well, how much could that thing cost? It's not that. He also made the machine to put on them. And what he did was he made money with the machine. But the machine did this simple task. And so sometimes we have to look. When we look at the Wright brothers, for example, many people believe that they invented the airplane. They did not invent the airplane. What they patented was a control system for the airplane. Now, we are familiar with roll, which is what we do when we make a turn. We know that we can lift the front end of the plane up or down. And that's where people had failed. They only looked at those two directions. But there is another axis, the Z-axis, which is the yaw, which means flying the plane straight or being able to straighten it out under certain situations, because you have wind that's moving the plane. And what they did was patent that system. Other than that, they would have not been able to reap the benefits of what they had done. So we see a person develop something that's worth less than a penny. But as that accumulated over a period of time, he was very successful. Now, I don't want to make it sound like the only way to be successful is to make a lot of money, because people are sometimes dedicated to doing other things. Owner of Patagonia, that makes the cold weather gear, very large manufacturer, has given away the company, has given it to fight climate change. And it wasn't just a giving it to somebody. It's not like what happened with the politician who gave his company away so that he could benefit. The people that own Patagonia are making a $17 million tax payment on this. But the profits and everything are going to fight climate change. Now, you see, that's not necessarily about money. They started with the intent of making money, and they made lots of it. But at some point, you may have bigger goals. You may want to be able to donate to your church, to your alumni, to some fund that works. Maybe it's fighting childhood cancer. Maybe it's even looking for a remedy or a solution to the problem of cancer. We're making advances on that, but those advances cost money. And maybe what you are wanting to, maybe that's what you want to do. Someone else may have as their goal the fact of being able to do what they want to do. I saw a young lady on on television this morning. She's an 11-year-old, and she is as vibrant can be because she is living part of her dream. She wants to interview, or she is interviewing people, TV now. I'm talking about large, big stars. Her dream interview is with Serena Williams, and I have no doubt that she will do this. But she is 11 years old. She wants to play in the WNBA. That is her dream. That is not my dream. But if that's what she wants, then that is her definition of success. We have to look at what we like, what we're capable of, and why we were placed on this earth. Why we were placed on this earth, not your cousin, your brother, your sister, your nephew, your grandkid, or whoever. You were placed here for a reason. And it is our job to find that reason and to seek ways of getting it done. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy. I tell the story of a friend of mine who is very successful. From a financial standpoint, as far as I know, he is very happy. He does what he likes to do. But at one time, as he was starting his transportation company, he had to be involved. He was washing a bus at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. And a guy came by and saw him and stopped and spoke with him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "This bus has to go out in the morning. Going to be ready, and it's going out in the morning." That was a banker friend who said, "The next time you get ready to buy one, come see me." And that started a relationship that was extremely valuable. But sometimes you have to get your hands dirty. Sometimes you have to roll up your sleeves in order to accomplish what needs to be done. Sometimes you can't do it yourself. Sometimes you need a team. And whether that team is paid full-time by you or paid to do a task, you are the ultimate driver of that dream. You're the ultimate person that makes it come true. You know, we look at people like Famous Amos, who came up with a cookie recipe. Now, he had some problems along the way, but it shows that we can do anything. He made a model of something that was very, very successful. But we have to understand that if it's important to you, it is important. So you can't say that I cannot invent a car, but you may be able to invent something on the car or that makes the car perform better. Now, what is better? Better doesn't have to be faster. It may make it more efficient. It may make it safer. But I hope that you're beginning to see where I'm going with this. Talk ourselves out of success. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is making order out of chaos, making order out of chaos. We see animals, they even have some order in their lives because we watch the sky and we see geese as they migrate from north to south and south to north. And they have to have an idea of when this takes place. Most of them follow this schedule. There are some that are somewhat domesticated and remain in the same place year round. But they have made order out of migration. They have to know when to go and where to go. And so as we look at a lot of the monuments that were created by early people, we see that many of them were to make order out of chaos. We see some in which a certain thing happens, such as a ray of sun shining on a particular spot that says we are now entering the equinox or some other phase of the Earth's orbit. And that's extremely important because sometimes we cannot predict or know when summer ends, fall begins, whatever. But it is very important. We use phases of the moon. There are names for most of the moons that come up because of activities that take place around them. But when we start to look, we think that these were primitive people, but they were very knowledgeable. And they spent much time making order out of chaos. If you plant your crops too early, frost comes along and kills them. You don't have food that year. You don't have food, makes a miserable life. You need to know when to take them in. As we perform our lives every day, we need to understand that many times we do it based on someone else's calculations. But they had to do it based on their calculations. So what does that have to do with you and your life, you and your day? It has a lot to do with it. Because many times what we're doing is unstructured, completely unstructured. Some of us do better when we're working for someone because someone tells us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Success, as we are speaking of here, often means that you have to carve out time out of your day, when, how much, and what you do is dependent upon you. As we look at great inventors, as we look at people that discover things, we find that inspiration is 1%, perspiration is 99%. But we need to get our day together. I often use this example because it happened to me. When I was in college, I didn't have to worry about preparing breakfast every morning because I could go to the cafeteria. All I had to do was get up. When I started working as a chemist, I had a 40-mile drive every morning, and that was as close as anybody could get to the site. We had buses. But because I did not prepare my lunch the day before, I'm often running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to get things done. It was a hectic start to the day. But I found that if I take 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, to get some order in my life, that it made the next day so much more successful. What can you do to bring order into your life? As you begin to do this, it may take a while for you to adjust to it. Because after all, we think that we don't have habits, but we do have habits. And those habits sometimes are bad. But what we need to do is to replace them with good habits. My habit then became preparing my lunch the night before, or sometimes even the day before, and having it ready so all I had to do was grab it. That took no more time, but it greatly decreased the hassle. It brought more order to my day. I had a bus ride of these 40 miles, and included in that was a stop at the terminal, which I didn't have to get off of my bus to change. But can you imagine being all jacked up from trying to get that last-minute thing done and get on the bus? If I had taken my time, which I found out later was a good, I could either read the newspaper, I could nod off, take another nap, or whatever. I brought some order to my life. And with that order came success. We look at it and often look at it from the standpoint of how can that be done. When we look at Paul in the Bible, we sometimes don't realize it, but the distance that he walked in his ministry is equivalent to walking across the United States 3.5 times. You don't do that just jumping up whenever and wherever and going whichever direction happens. It takes some planning. And this is what we need to do to bring order into our lives. When are you going to spend time on your idea? And that idea may have come through you rather than from you. Because I believe that the universe has a way of talking with us, telling us things to do. I was writing an article the other day. In fact, it was yesterday. And I came up with an idea. And I was able to implement that idea. I'm not going to argue where it came from, whether I am the greater influence or whether the Father is a greater influence. But I know that it works. And we sometimes see items come up that we have gotten an idea for, but somebody has gotten that idea earlier and succeeded in it. One of the worst things, one of the worst feelings you can have is to have a great idea and do nothing with it, and then see somebody come up and just absolutely clean up with your idea. You don't want that to happen, because you're doing things for yourself. You're doing things for your God, your creator, your maker, the supreme being, the heavenly Father, and all of that is taken together. People watch you. They watch you. They see what you're doing. We have cases like this come up all the time where somebody said, I watched you do this. I watched you do that. Do you want the memory of you to be sitting on the couch drinking beer after beer after beer and doing nothing else? To me, that is not the legacy that I want to leave. And I hope it's not one that you want to leave either. I'm not saying don't drink at all, but some people cannot handle it. Let's look at an idea that was on National Public Radio today as I was driving. Canada has come up with a somewhat novel approach that is saving lives. Don't know if it's legal here in the United States or not. But what they have set up are places where people can go and use drugs. Now, before you fly off the handle and look at what's happening, many people are involved with street drugs. It's a reality. It's out there. And in many cases, they're being laced with fentanyl, which is one of the most dangerous substances on the face of the earth. And many people are losing their lives because of it. Canada has set up a place where you can go and use your street drug and be monitored. Because usually what happens is people are dying from overdoses, and they watch you, and they have somebody monitor you as you using this. This is not a long-range cure. This is not the cure-all that cures all. Because what happens is you have to make up in your mind that you are quitting. Something happens within you that says you can quit. That's a different program. But they cannot be successful in another program if you're dead. Now, Oregon is going along similarly. They are decriminalizing drugs, and rather than putting people in jail, incarcerating them, putting them in treatment, which seems to me a lot to make a lot more sense than just locking people up. Because in the black community, for example, we find that people are being incarcerated at rates well above what they should be. We'll take one, and I'm not endorsing marijuana. The whites use marijuana slightly more than we do. But when you look at jail, when you look at who's being incarcerated, whose life is being ruined, that's where it is. But what they are doing is saying it is better to treat you than to allow you to kill yourself. That sounds brutal. It sounds cold. It sounds harsh. But the bottom line is that's what many people are doing. We're finding that many times it's older people that are falling into that category. And they're falling into that category because they can't afford the prescription medications that they used to be able to afford. Maybe you have a better system. And I'm not saying that, but just to be saying it, because I understand the people that will listen to this program have something going for themselves. They will listen to a program about success. They will listen to a program about bringing their idea to fruition. And that's what we're all about. We are a community here. And this is why I encourage you to contact us with your ideas, your questions, your comments. And sometimes solving a question or attempting to solve a question can be valuable to many people. This is why I encourage you to do so. And it's just like Christians. When a person begins their walk to Christianity, a walk of Christianity, is the most difficult time that they are going to have. Because they are changing their habits. Sometimes they're changing friends. Sometimes they're changing activities that they do. And it is difficult. This is when we need to embrace those people. This is when we need to be available if they have questions, if they have support. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to jump on them like a cowboy on a runaway horse, but you need to be there. They need to know that. You can scare people away, because I've seen people that would have and were ready to, but people just basically pounced on them as if they were some wild animal and scared them away. Now, once you do that, twice as hard to get them again. So sometimes we need to be gentle. Sometimes we need to watch. But what we're doing is trying to bring order to our lives, whether that is by time, and time includes scheduling. Normally, my most creative time is in the morning. And I find that if I can get up in the morning and perform some of my creative activities, like writing, like editing, those types of things for me, that is the best time. Even if I have to get up early enough that I go back to bed and get another nap. I have worked all of my life. I'm not working now in a structured job. But I have things that I want to do, and I want to do them for me. This is why I do the blog post and the discussion. Today, we posted a new article. I had to change it at the last minute. But we will be discussing that on Sunday. What I wrote about was the Edmondson sisters. I had no idea that they even existed. But they are being honored in Alexandria, Virginia. And they did so because they were fighters for civil rights. When they were sold, they were 13 and 15. The 15-year-old was able to get her freedom. Both of them were able to get their freedom. But they got so with the help of Harriet Beecher Stowe's brother, a minister. And they fought for civil rights. To me, that is success, because that's what they want. That's something that we all need. And that is that equal chance, that equal footing. Now, what happened with them is their father was a free black man, but his wife was not. And when we see what happens under slavery, the fruit of the womb follows the mother. So they had 8 children. But they did not belong to their father. They belonged to the owner of the mother. And one night there was an effort to escape. And these were well-to-do black people in Washington, D.C. Well-to-do. They worked for some of the richest families in Washington, D.C. But while we are arguing about house slaves versus feel slaves, we must understand that none of them are free. None of them are free. And so these people who some people would say had the best opportunities knew that they were not free, and that's what they wanted. And so there was a ship that came along, and 71 slaves got on this ship. But it got stranded because of weather. And they were apprehended. Now, these girls, 13 and 15, were sold down south. They were sent from Washington, Alexandria, Virginia area to the deep south. And they were done so to were going to be put to work in the sex trade. They were going to be forced into prostitution. They didn't want it. Nobody else did. But through the efforts of their father, who contacted Harriet Beecher Stowe's brother, and not directly, but as he followed lead after lead after lead, he found them. They were able to purchase them and bring them back. Now, Alexandria, Virginia has a monument that they just erected to them. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. But that shows a different form of success. It's not based on money, but it is based on something that's worthwhile. We have people that have been able to do so much stuff because they were willing to get started, whether it's making pies, whether it's making carbonated drinks, other types of drinks, or what have you. There's a outfit in the Deep South. I think it's Arkansas. It's called Delta Distillery. People are making vodka from sweet potatoes, and it seems like a successful business. That happens not to be my dream although as a chemist, I believed that I could probably turn out something fairly good. But at one time, I had a federal firearms license. But it scared the heck out of me that one day I may have to look down the barrel of a gun that I sold to somebody. So that was not for me. Other people do it, and they do it well. But that's where their passion lies. And I give you this example to let you know that what you are doing should fit you. It should fit you. And with that, you can become as successful as you want to. I don't know. Maybe those people are, well, I know for one thing, they're employing people. And in some cases, they can make decisions to employ people that other people would not have. And that's something else that we need. We need to be able to employ people, give them a chance. I see a restaurant. I don't even remember the name of it now. But all of the staff, the wait staff, were artistic people. But these people were dedicated to their job. We sometimes overlook people. What can we do to help other people as well as ourselves, as our community? This gives you an idea of the range is available. I looked at an opportunity. Well, here again, I had thought about this. It's not my area of expertise, but of being able to help young people just out of school pay for school. And how would they do that? You would help them by renting, leasing, or selling to them lawn care equipment where they could go out and get jobs. You might even help them get jobs so that they can do this. Sometime back, I spoke of a friend of Steve Harvey's, and this was, I don't know what year it was, but when they were in school, he didn't want to go with them at night because he had to get up and cut grass. He had to cut grass. He enjoyed that. That's what he wanted his life's work to be. So he wasn't going to go out and run around all night and still fill his dream. And then sometimes we have to make choices. This doesn't mean that he can never speak to those people again. This doesn't mean that he can never go out with them again. But it is monitored. He has put order into his life rather than allow the chaos that comes up whenever and however. And when last I heard Steve talk about this, and this was some years ago, the guy was making $850,000 a year because of the lawn business. We sometimes look at people who are working and laugh as if it's something funny, but it's not. Those people, I had a friend that was at one time a law enforcement officer, and he left law enforcement to run a honey wagon. If you don't know what a honey wagon is, it's one of these septic tank trucks. And there is outstanding money in that. And what he did was he put himself through nursing school. And he is a traveling nurse, paid very, very well for what he does. When he was a police officer, he saved a man's life. Sometime later, he ended up saving the same man's life. So he developed an interest in nursing that overtook that of his law enforcement. I knew him. I knew his brothers. I knew his father. I knew his mother. His father was a police officer. His brother, two of his brothers were police officers working for different agencies in the department. I knew them well. But it didn't fit him. But he is still a very strong member of that family. But he found a way. He found something that he enjoys. and it has turned out for him. Now, me, at one time I wanted to be a doctor, but that didn't turn out for me. In fact, I even went to the military to see if they would send me to medical school. At that time, I had a BS in chemistry. But I think most of those people saw me as nothing but gun fodder because they wanted to tell me about openings in the infantry. I wasn't afraid of going into the infantry because I would have done it, because it would have helped me get to my goal. And sometimes we have to make that order in our lives. I see people that are doing jobs that maybe they wouldn't take, but they are doing it for a purpose. They are making order out of their lives. They may be working at a fast food place. And thank goodness the rate of pay for most of those has gone up almost to the level where you can almost live off of it. But one of the things that I would do as a supervisor in my work is I knew the people that I had. I talked to them about their dreams. Those that didn't want to stay there the rest of their lives, I didn't put them on a list of exiles, because my belief was that if I could help them get what they wanted, in the process, they would give me the best that they had. The best that they had, and they did. And I would put my crew up against any crew out there because we had a way of honestly talking with each other. I had more people on my crew taking advantage of the tuition refund than any other group in the company. But those people were loyal to me, and they were loyal no matter what. Told them, I say, if you do something stupid, at least tell me the truth. I'll do the best that I can for you. But if you lie to me, don't lie to me. Let's just take it at that. Don't lie to me. Don't have me hanging out there trying to defend something that is indefensible. But we learned from this. And they knew. If something is happening. We've saved that company probably millions of dollars because I had people that were willing to report things to me. And I didn't try to take everybody's for what everybody did. It was, I thought, good for the shift, but credit goes where credit is due. And I would say this person did this. Yeah, it was hopefully I had some influence on them, but they are the ones that deserve the credit because they are the ones that did it. Same thing goes with you. When you are an entrepreneur working for yourself or what you want to do, you need to be looking for ways to become more and more productive. More and more productive. And this is what I call success. Many people don't become successful because they don't know how to make order out of the chaos that is their life. They don't know how to do that. And they flounder. They don't know when and how to schedule work. They don't know how to schedule tasks. They don't know how to continue to challenge themselves. I remember in college, I was assigned to an English teacher that I heard was just as hard as a horseshoe. I mean, tough as nails. And so I did some this and some that and some other things to get into a much easier class. But now I wish that I had gone through the more difficult class. I had an opportunity to do it. She pushed you. She made you work. But I was lazy. I didn't want to do it. But when you are working, you need to understand that in addition to working, you are learning. You're learning, and nobody can take that from you. Nobody can steal that from you. And so what you need to do is plan, make order out of what you're doing. Is there a job that you could take that would give you an insight into something that you want to do? Maybe you're learning bookkeeping, but you want to be a chef. If you're owning a restaurant, most people have someone else do these things, but that could be an avenue for you to get where you want. I talk to people. The other day I had to take my computer in, and I used Geek Squad. And so I'm talking to the individual that's working on my computer. And I said, how did you get into computers? Well, actually, he was going to school to be an auto mechanic. But he found that he had a desire to learn computers. Now, this story is making a comeback, a full circle. Because what we're seeing now, whether we know it or not, is we're going to cars that are going to be more like computers than they are like cars. Many of the moving parts are being removed. There will no longer be a need for an internal combustion engine coming up. But we follow our dreams. Our dream may be to have a daycare, and one that is responsive to the needs of the children. Maybe it's being able to provide care in the off hours. Whatever your idea is, look at it critically. You may not be able to do what you want to do in the beginning, but you may be able to make it work with effort. But you must start with making order out of chaos. Make order out of chaos. When am I going to spend time doing this? I remember my mother having a nightmare. I mean a nightmare. And as she had started the restaurant, there was an audit by the IRS. And she had a habit of taking receipts and just throwing them in a basket or a box. She kept the boxes, fortunately. But going back, reconstructing what would have been a few minutes every day or weekly turned into a nightmare. Right after that, she got somebody to take care of that aspect of the business. But when I talk to people that want to go into the restaurant industry, cooking is not your number one need. Cooking is not your number one need. Oh, yes, it's very important. But your waitstaff need to be congenial. You need to be able to plan what you're going to have to take advantage of things. There's some restaurants that change the menu seasonally depending upon what's available. Is that what you want, or do you want something more standard? There is no right answer, no wrong answer with this particular question or this particular situation, but you must make order. Chaos. There was a restaurant that I used to enjoy going to. They had a menu that repeated every week. They had fried chicken one day, they had something else another day, and this allowed them to utilize everything that was available. Some things could be turned into some other things, but they had worked out the details so that they were extremely efficient. They had a great clientele. People would come from all over the city because they loved the food. And you must have a back end to that food. You're ordering. Maintenance, because you can't just throw things out, because what you're throwing out is your profit. So you must utilize what you have. Again, you're making order out of chaos, order out of chaos. Whether you're inventing a machine, you're trying to turn chaos into order. When Metzelinger invented his shoe lasting machine, it was so complicated, the Bureau of Standards had a hard time believing that it would work. Yeah, it's a black man. But when he demonstrated his machine, it worked. I'm sure it took him a long time to come up with it. But by doing this, he brought the cost of shoemaking down. Because prior to that, all shoes were done by hand. Every step was done by hand. There were no machines to take the repetitive jobs out. And that's something else that we can look at. Do you have something that's repetitive that you have to do over and over and over and over again that can be mechanized? You may not have those skills, but you may be able to talk with or work with someone that does. And I've seen this happen more than once. As a chemist, I needed sometimes pieces of equipment that did not exist. But we had instrument people around. We had electricians around. We had the electronic people around. We had all sorts of things. And we were able to come up with some inventive solutions to problems. Sometimes I got credit for it. But again, I just as soon give credit where credit is due. But what I'm showing you at this is that you can make order out of chaos by repeating or working with knowing where you want to go and what you want to do. And you can take a repetitive process, streamline it, maybe even patent it, maybe even make it. Because we sometimes hear, not so much nowadays, but people would say, I want the real McCoy. Not realizing that what that was trains used to run all across this country, but they had to stop frequently. If you look at towns along the way, usually that was a town every 10 miles so that they could get water and they could get other things. Sometimes it was to oil the bearings of the wheels and what have you. And that required frequent stops to do. McCoy invented an oiler for those types of equipment, for that type of equipment, railroads, ships, whatever used it. And then people tried to make a cheap imitation of what he did. But they couldn't do it. They didn't have the quality. And people would say, don't give me that junk. I want the real McCoy. McCoy was a black man. Whether you are man, woman, tall, short, Christian, Jew, no religion at all, whatever you may be, don't let someone else talk you out of your deserved success. Don't let someone else talk you out of your deserved success. Because it's yours. You may have to solicit other people to do certain parts of it. It's just like my mother ran the restaurant for over 40 years, but she had someone do the books because that was difficult for her to do both of those. And she learned early that she needed that particular help. We had other people lined up. We knew who we could call on to get certain things repaired at what time, when, how, whatever. Because sometimes you need it and you need it now. But you develop relationships that allow that to happen. And so what I'm telling you is even on the most complex operations, it can be slimmed down if you make order out of chaos. And generally that's breaking it down to its simplest form. Imagine you've got a walk-in freezer, and you may have half a whole cow in that thing, and your refrigeration goes out. Can you sit there and watch over the weekend while all of that goes to waste? No, you need to know somebody that you can call, some service that you can call, something that can be done to take care of that immediate situation. That is making order out of chaos. What are you doing that is the most complex, most vexing thing that you have to do? Find a way to improve that, whether you do it or whether somebody else provides you with something. We haven't talked about ghostwriters in a long time, but many people who do articles have someone else write them, and write them with the rights going to the person that is hiring them so that they can use it. They may edit it again, but they have been able to do something that is difficult to do. And what you do is you prioritize, what do I have to do and what can someone else do? What do I have to do? Nobody else can do it. Nobody else can do it the way I want it. You're making order out of chaos. And that's what success is. That's what success is. When we looked at the Wright brothers, there were things that they could do. There were things that they could not do. And I'll give you a little background, kind of a funny story, which I thought was funny at the time, not necessarily ha-ha funny. But the Wright brothers and Paul Laurence Dunbar, the black poet, were extremely good friends. They grew up in Dayton, Ohio. The Wright brothers' father was a bishop. And Paul spent a lot of time at their house. They spent a lot of time at Paul's house. In fact, at one time, they competed against Paul. One of the brothers published a newspaper. Paul did too. Paul Laurence Dunbar was successful because he had an eye on who his clientele was, that avatar that we sometimes talk about, that he could tailor his to. And he succeeded, whereas the Wright brothers didn't. But the Wright brothers had the first powered flight, not the first flight, the first powered flight. And in so doing, they had to design an engine that would propel this thing. Their first flight was shorter than the distance between wingtip and wingtip of a 747. But it was a success. Put yourself down. Make order out of chaos. And out of that order comes progress, comes success. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I hope that all of you have been listening, because I've given you some success secrets that you can carry from here out. You can apply them in your life, no matter what your goals are, no matter what you run up against. Always look to make order out of chaos. The program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. We come to you every Thursday at 7 p.m., 4 p.m. Pacific time. We also talk about interesting topics on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. You can use the same contact information then as you use now. Love to have you join us, because it's a different view on what we have. We're going to talk about the Edmondson sisters, among other things, on Sunday. I hope to see you there. Pleasure to me talking with people around the world who have the same goals and ambitions, and that is to change the world one person at a time. I look forward to seeing you again. Hopefully we'll get off in time to allow Deacon Armstrong to bring his awesome program on at 8 o'clock. Those of you that are listening, tune back in at 8 o'clock for a wonderful program. And also check the list of programs on blogtalkradio.com/crowntalkingdrums. We think that you'll find some things there that will amaze you. I will see you again next week. Hopefully, I'll also see you on Sunday. This is John C. Abercrombie and Faith on the Road to Success. My friends, be blessed.